Welcome to the Big Fellas Podcast, where we chop it up about all things past, present, and future about the game of basketball. Where facts, stats, and context reign supreme.
That is blasphemous!
Sometimes it gets crazy, but we always keep it real.
Always keep it real.
Get ready to learn from players, coaches, and fans from all levels of the game and see the court in a brand new way. And now, fresh off the sidelines, here's your host, John Hartofilis.
What it do, fellas, and welcome to the Big Fellas Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, JH, coming to you from New York City, the mecca of basketball. Today, I'm excited to be joined by Tommy Shepard, general manager for the Washington Wizards. Personally, it was an honor to sit down with Tommy, as he's one of only 30 people on the planet to hold the exact position I dream of having one day. In this episode, I learned so much from Tommy, talking about how he became one of the most powerful people in the association, the most important lessons he learned from his 25 seasons inside the front office, and why you have to find mentors that get the very best out of you. We've got a good one in store for you today, fellas. Episode number 27, Tommy Shepard, general manager of the Washington Wizards. Hi, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic. It's such an honor to have you on the show. You're one of 30 people on the planet to have my actual dream job. So it's really cool to sit down and talk to you. It's a great opportunity, and I'm really thankful that you were able to make time to come on today.
Oh, it's an honor. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Awesome. So just to start off for our listeners, can you kind of give us a little bit of the backstory on how you first got into, whether it's basketball or just sports in general, and that kind of interest started for you?
Man, I started playing basketball when I was 6 years old. My entire life was, I wanted to be Dr. J, wanted to play in the NBA from, you know, the earliest memories. And that stayed with me. I played basketball my whole life. Really had an opportunity, a great opportunity coming out of high school to actually play college football. I played football at New Mexico State for a few years. And then when I finished up my graduate school, or when I graduated from university, I went to UNLV, my first job out of college. I was actually the sports information director there and worked with Jerry Tarkanian and Tim Gergerich, who is my biggest rabbi in basketball, by far greatest assistant coach in the NBA history. And then I went with him and then Rolly Massimino. And Rolly had Jay Wright was one of his assistant coaches. And then, so I was at UNLV 3 years and got a job with the Denver Nuggets. I started out there as the PR director and ended up, I was there 9 years in various capacities. And then I came to Washington, D.C. I've been here ever since. So 27 years in the NBA.
Definitely. And it must have been an amazing 27 years. You must have seen just so much in terms of not just how the league's grown, but just kind of just going from all these different positions and meeting all these new people. So when you first got to the Nuggets, I mean, it was right after they beat the Sonics. They were the eighth seed and they beat the Sonics. So huge upset. You go into that team, Dikembe's still there. What was that like for you in terms of that whole experience?
That was my first taste of kind of life in the NBA, because that team was the first time an eight ever beat a one. And there were huge expectations that next year. And you find out how incredibly devastating injuries are. Lofonso Ellis, prior to the season, had some knee issues and was really basically out the entire season. We still were able to make the playoffs that year, but it was very difficult. I think we were 41-41. We lost to the Spurs when David was the MVP. That year, Houston ended up winning the championship with Akeem when Akeem went nuts. But that was my first taste of how difficult it is to go through a season without your star players. Lofonso was one of our top players on that team, but got a chance to be with Dikembe. Like you said, Jalen Rose was our rookie. We came in the league together, still dear friends to this day. That entire team, we still keep up with everybody that we can. Obviously, we lost Bison Dele years ago, but everyone else from that team, we were still very close.
That's so cool. And then you leave the Nuggets right before they end up drafting Carmelo Anthony and go to the Wizards right after they lose Michael Jordan. And it's just such a cool thing that all these really cool events are happening with all these teams around the same time. So now you're at the Wizards, you're there, and obviously we're going to get into all the cool stuff with that in a little bit. But what was it like making that transition from the Nuggets to the Wizards and what it's like just kind of completely changing not just what you're doing, but also the environment that you're in?
Well, understand, I was there for the draft with Carmelo. I left shortly after that. I think I came to DC in late September, but it wasn't that big of a change. In the NBA, when you change teams, you don't really change your connection, your network. It's all the same people. But understand, when I was in Denver, I ended up being part of the front office. I did an awful lot of scouting, did a lot of recruiting for free agents, and helped our players quite a bit. In whenever you sign somebody in transition, and basically what's now become family services. So I had a lot of different hats that I wore. When I got to DC, I was assistant GM. And that was kind of similar to the role that I had in Denver, but certainly in DC, it was at a much higher level and a lot more responsibility than I'd ever had previously. So it was great. I loved it from day one. We had a great, exciting future ahead of us. We had a lot of, that first year was difficult because again, we had injuries. Jerry Stackhouse was injured. Gilbert Arenas, who we had just signed, was injured a little bit during that season, but we kind of smoothed it out, had a nice little run, kept running into LeBron everywhere we went for a couple of years, but that team was really, it was a solid team, had excellent role players, guys that really, they made their careers being stars in their role. The guys like Brendan Haywood, Deshaun Stevenson, Antoine Jameson, Caron Butler were all stars. And Gilbert was just a one-of-a-kind talent. And then, unfortunately, it's life in the NBA. Injuries take their toll, and the payroll gets creeping up on you, and we had to kind of rebuild. And we started over from scratch, and we were fortunate enough to get the first pick in the draft with John Wall. And John was five-time All-Star. He's had some injuries difficult to deal with. Bradley Beal, a couple of years later at the third pick, and Bradley's been a cornerstone piece for our franchise and always will be. Tremendous player, and we've added pieces. So you've got a chance to kind of see a whole franchise turn itself over in 17 years. That's hard to think of. You know, the days go slow, but the years go fast. But it's been a fascinating time in D.C., and I can't wait to we're trying to produce the very best team that we can to be a perennial contender. And I think we're taking those steps, and we don't take anything lightly here. We don't shortcut or cut corners, but we're on our way. We have some really exciting young players to go with Bradley, and then we get John back this year. I think we're going to be forced to be reckoned with.
Of course, there's definitely a lot of good stuff happening down there in D.C., and it's great when you kind of talk about how kind of the days go slow, but the years go by so fast. You've been there for a long time, but I mean, I'm sure like it just kind of feels like it's just flown by, whether it's like you can just remember, oh, like it feels like yesterday we drafted John, and all these awesome things have happened, whether it's all these great playoff series have happened since then.
Yeah, certainly. I think the one thing that you got to know with basketball, with all professional sports teams, every year is completely different. You may see, you know, the future after a season's over always seems like it's headed one direction, and that's what's great about our sport. You can change direction in a hurry. And like, use Miami as an example this year, heading into before COVID, they really weren't a team that people were thinking was going to be in the finals. And then life happened, we have an interruption, we come back, and they took their team to the finals. And I give Spoelstra the highest marks on that. Jimmy Butler was able to rally that team, and that's a very inspirational story, but it's proof that anything can happen in the NBA.
Of course, anything can happen, and especially when you have the right mix of young talent, just you really take a team by surprise. So you guys have now a rookie in Rui Hachimura, who's really developing into a really solid young player. Obviously, drafting him, the expectations were super high, and he's met those since then. What are your outlook on the future for him?
Oh, we want to continue to see him extend his range offensively and become a much better defender defensively. I think he's a complete player. He's a role player that we think is a star in his role, but we think he's got a bright future and can guard multiple positions, can play multiple positions, and that's kind of the key for us. We like to play really fast, and we want people that can, in Rui's case, he can pick it off the glass, take it all the way up the court, make a play, get to the rim. We very satisfied with his shooting, very satisfied with his ability to get to the free throw line. Like to see him extend his range, be more reliable from the three, but he's a fantastic prospect for us, and then we're really excited to have him with us.
Of course. And then with all these young players, obviously comes the decision of, and as the GM, to do we buckle down and concentrate on growing this young talent, or are there moves we can make through free agency to get a team that can win right now that we know going into a season can do that? What's that kind of decision like for you, whether when it's coming up with what kind of stage a team is in, especially now that you've transitioned into that role? What does that look like?
Well, my job as the general manager, I'm the caretaker of this team for our ownership group. And so with that challenge, you must be ready to do whatever it takes to make your team better at any time. Patience is a very big key. I actually have bracelets that I wear. It says patience on each hand. And you got to look down with young players. It takes time for young players to become very good players. But we've experienced that with John Wall, with Bradley Beal. We saw what investing in them and staying patient over the years that yielded 5 all-star games with John, 2 with Bradley. We feel Bradley's an all-NBA player, and definitely, you know, the product that's sitting in front of you wasn't the one that we had their first year. It takes time, and you have to be patient, but you also have to know what good deals are that are out there, and if it helps your team, you always got to execute to make your team better. But we really, in 1 year's time, we basically reset our roster from our last time we were in the playoffs. We lost in 6 games to Toronto, and there's 2 players left from that team. So this past season, we had 11, really 13 new players we had in the trades as well. So it takes time, but then all of a sudden time moves on and you have a new team staring you right in the face from where you thought your core nucleus was 4 years ago. There's only 2 guys left from that. It tells you the NBA moves on.
Of course, the NBA is a business and it moves at a million miles an hour. It's super hard to kind of keep all that into play. So now as a general manager, what's the kind of relationship like? Has it changed at all with doing work to make the GM's life easier? You're now in that position to see everything and make that decision. Has that been a real big change for you?
Not really. I'm a very collaborative person. I've surrounded myself with an unbelievable staff with Brett Greenberg, who's one of the very best cap people in the NBA, but one of the best people in the NBA. He's a wonderful person. Frank Ross on the college side is our vice president of college personnel. Johnny Rogers on the pro side, vice president of pro personnel. And we brought back some familiar faces with Antoine Jameson on the pro side. Tony DeLeo is still, those two are directors of scouting for the college side, for the pro side, and they are a fantastic group. We have wonderful scouts on the pro side and on the college side as well. And then we have fantastic basketball operations assistants, the support staff of Tion Watson, Alec Arnold, Greg Kershaw, and Sam Kaplan. You hate naming names because you'll leave somebody out, but our staff they're just such servant leaders. It really makes me feel great. I don't feel ever that I'm isolated or one person on top of everybody else. We're just a very collaborative group.
Of course, and that's what you need, is to have that cohesion within a front office to end up having the success that you're looking for. So then you touched on it a little bit at the beginning, having a lot of mentors that showed you how to get to where you've ended up coming to. What does that kind of need for mentorship kind of look like for you? Because a lot of listeners to this show are young like myself, and they're looking for a way to network with people and figure that way out for themselves. What did that mentorship look like for you when you were younger?
You know, I was involved in so many things. I always wanted to be kind of in the center of wherever a lot of activity was. So when I was working for the Wizards, actually it started when I was at UNLV, but it continued with the Nuggets and on into the Wizards. I was always working with USA Basketball, working with the United States Olympic Committee. I was blessed to be able to go to 3 Olympic Games, but also worked World Championships with the USA Basketball people. And that gave me an opportunity to really widen my network. And a lot of it is just keeping up with all the players. You know, over the years, I have a very soft spot in my heart for international players. Sharunas Marcellonis is a business friend of mine, a business partner, but he's also one of my best friends in the world. Helped him form a league years ago, the Northern European Basketball League, and also helped him with a bunch of different basketball projects, including an academy in Vilnius, and watching players grow internationally and come to the United States. Those are the networks that they start when you're very young. And I just, the best advice I give to young people is really try to grow your garden, try to network with people, but realize the people you're talking with today in your classes, some of them may be your friends for the rest of your life. And really just trying to keep each other posted on your each other's progress and opportunities that come up. You know, networking is not a four-letter word. It really is. It's a great opportunity to just continue to meet people, compare notes, and really what you should want to do every day is get wisdom, get smarter every day, acquire more knowledge, more information. And when the wider your network, the more opportunities you have to do that.
Of course, no, networking is super important. And when you're talking, especially about when the international side of things, it's funny because I had George Miras on the show about just a few weeks ago. And when he came on, it was so crazy for me because he was obviously someone I was too young to ever see him play. I was born after he retired, but having him on the show was like, oh my God, like this is someone who grew up in a completely different part of the world, came here and played professional basketball, and someone I've always looked up to, and now we're having a conversation, and like that it's a relationship. Hopefully that'll last longer than that, and it goes the same with everything that you do. So that's super interesting that you were able to talk about how important it is to find a mentor.
Well, absolutely, and understand what a small world basketball is. George and I are very friendly. We were together in Romania for the European Championships a couple years ago, and the time we spent together, he took me to his hometown, he took me to some of his favorite restaurants, we drove the streets together. That was really gratifying to be with him as a dear friend. Being able to show somebody your hometown and stuff is really cool. And you know, I continue to keep up with George. His son played at Georgetown he just finishing up. Wonderful people, his family's second to none. So it's good. You already have a great audience. You got a far better guest than I have in George on, but he's a wonderful person.
It's such a fun time to have him on. A lot of good jokes. To start the interview, I actually tried to say hi in Romanian and I butchered it a little bit, and he really got a kick out of that. And it was a fun conversation. Yep.
He speak Greek to you?
So when I told him I was Greek, he tried a little bit. That was funny. I mean, we were able to go both ways, where I messed up the Romanian, he messed up the Greek a little bit. So
wash. You both.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Awesome. So just to wrap up, I just want to ask you one more question about being a general manager. It's the highest position in all of pro sports. It's something that young kids everywhere just look up to and say, I want to do that one day. And everyone thinks that and everyone wants that, but they don't really know where the steps are to even start, to get into that spot. We just walked through your story, and I know our listeners are going to learn so much from that, but what's your advice to someone now, whether it's a college student or someone that's got out of college, that's thinking about doing that one day?
I think dream big and pursue your dreams. You have to understand there's limitations. People that tell me they want to do what I do, I say, well, you want to do what I do, you have to do what I did. And I spent a lot of years, unfortunately, I'm blessed to have a fantastic family, but I spent a lot of time away from them chasing this dream and getting to that. And it's not all that. Your family's by far the most important thing, but it takes a lot of hours away from your family. It takes an awful lot of immersion into the basketball world and really going to games. That's a given, but the practice is the amount of time you spend communicating with players, networking with people, you know, agents, owners, everyone at the NBA, everyone around the globe. It's a very tight knit network. It's basically, basketball is a very small town. So if you're going to put your foot in there, you have to put your best foot forward. You got to understand all your actions are going to speak for you, not your words. So if you're somebody that can bring something to the table and help make an organization better, everyone that sits in the chair I sit in, especially, we're all selfish. We want what the best people working for us. So what do you do? What can you bring to the Wizards to make us the best possible team? And everybody matters. And every single position in our organization has a great deal of responsibility. And it's an interconnectivity. And we can, you know, we're getting ready for the draft, and the people that are preparing all the videos for us for draft night, they're more important than some of the other people that work around the clock for us in the sense of that night, that's their night to shine. And they're 2-3 years in the profession. So it's every job is very important. I would give my best advice to you, to anybody that wants to get into the NBA, pursue it, run it out. Don't just every time you get a rejection notice or somebody doesn't call you back or something, keep trying. I think there's enough good people that really remember how hard it is to break in, that people will love to help any way they can, but you have to put your best foot forward and say, this is what I can do to help you.
Well, of course, and that's great advice. And one thing I want to touch on from what you said was, well, what skill do you have to help the Washington Wizards or any NBA team? A lot of people just think, well, I love basketball. And they just kind of just push off that idea of, oh, I actually have to do something. I actually have to have a skill to help these teams out. And people forget that. And it's a message that both a lot of guests have said on this show, as well as something that I've been trying to preach to both the freshmen that I coach. I tell them all the time, what do you have to offer? If everything's always an ask, you're never really going to get anything. If you're always asking for something, it's always, this is how I can help you, and this is the skill I have to offer, and this is something I've worked on for a long time to be able to have this conversation. So, Tommy, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciated it, and it was fantastic, and it was a dream. If you had told me when I started the show 3 months ago that I had an NBA GM on in 3 months as opposed to 3 years, I wouldn't have believed you. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I know you have a very busy schedule and the phone's always ringing for you. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, it was a pleasure. We expect great things from you. I'll be watching.
Thank you.
Your career. Good luck to you.
Thanks for listening to the Big Fellas Podcast. Check us out on all major social media platforms at Big Fellas Pod to join the chop up. You can also listen to us on every podcast platform on the planet. Stay tuned for the next episode, Big Fellas.